Listen to the voices of our world.
90% of the foreigners are in jail for drugs.
And when he poked my bag, stuff came out and I thought, oh my God.
I want to go home. I miss my family, my children especially.
Welcome to Voices of Our World, a presentation of this station and Mary Knoll. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. Relationships are built on trust. Simplistic, yes, but very true. How much you trust a person guides how much influence they have over your life. But for the issue of trust, the three women I'm about to introduce you to would have been home with their families rather than in prison. These women are convicted drug traffickers, or more commonly known as drug mules, lured in by someone they trusted or by money. Drug mules are simply a person convinced to carry a parcel of drugs, whether they knew it or not, across international borders. Their names have been changed to preserve their anonymity. Here is Karen's story.
I met a Brazilian in Cape Town. I was in the car business, and we became pretty good friends. And he said to me, I mean, being in the car business as a woman is not easy, but I was making fair enough money. And he asked me, don't I want to come work at the carnival here? And I thought, brilliant idea. He said, no, but I've got to come beforehand to check it out and speak to people. It's selling clothes, working as vendors, but it's like $200 a day. I thought, oh, for a week, whatever, in February, make good money quickly. And I said, okay, he said he'll pay my ticket, I'll pay my hotel. And it worked out fine. I met friends of his, and he bought me things. I thought, great, why not, if you can afford it? And things are cheap here. So, I mean, the more he bought me, I thought, well, happy days. And nothing, to me, it was just normal. And he bought me a bag that was lying in the hotel for like 3 days. There was nothing inside it. I put all my clothes and my rubbish in there. And I got to the airport and I was waiting in the queue and they asked me, can they check my bag? And I said, no, not a problem. Just said, what for? Standing watch, and they started poking it. And I said, oh, you're paying for my luggage for being poked like this? Are you paying for it? And when he poked my bag, stuff came out and I thought, oh my God. And I nearly passed out. But anyway, I stood there and I said, he said, is it your bag? I said, yes, it is my bag. Because it was my bag. It was bought for me. But to explain that to him, because of the language barrier, was a different story. And then they asked me, did I swallow? And I said, swallowed what? I didn't know what they were talking about. I said, swallowed what? And then they asked me to do my clothes. I said, I won't do it without a woman. I'm not in clothing for two men. And but other than that, they were pretty decent. Until I came here. And this is living hell, as far as I'm concerned.
Can you describe your cell and who lives there? How many people?
Well, I'm South African. I live with four other people, two being South African as well, and a German lady and a Mozambican lady. The cell is very tiny. We're very on top of each other with a toilet in the middle. But we've made a curtain so to give us a little bit of privacy. Once you get locked up, there's no running water whatsoever. So we've got to fill up cool drink bottles to wash your hands after you've been to the toilet. Thank goodness the loos do flush. We've tried to make it a little bit like home, which it's impossible. And if after they lock up at 9, if somebody gets sick, well, we've banged on doors for hours. Nobody comes. Oh, eventually they will come when they've maybe woken up or whatever they do. But I mean, I just think of the day somebody has something very serious. You know, we don't have visitors. We don't have a right to phone. We haven't spoken to our family since we've been here. Our mail doesn't get home. I know my mail takes 3 months to get home from here. I don't know how that happens. I got a letter last night. It's taken a month to get from Cape Town to here. A month. So, I mean, what do you do? I've got a child at home. You know, that I'd like to communicate with sometime. I'm not saying all the time, but I've got that right. The Brazilians have a right to see their families. They get food, they get whatever from home. I mean, we depend on that mail or one phone call. I'm saying every 3 months, not once a week. Won't be ridiculous now.
Conditions are awful in La Penitenciaria Feminina de la Capital, or the Women's Penitentiary of São Paulo, Brazil. And we'll hear more from Karen in a few minutes. But first, I wanted you to meet the woman who escorted producers Kathy Golden and Eleanor Ostrinsky to the prison in the summer of 2005 to interview these three women. She advocates for them tirelessly through her organization La Pastoral Consolaria, or the Prison Pastoral. She is lay missioner Heidi Cerneca, and she gives producer Kathy Golden an idea of the obstacles these women face being foreigners in the Brazilian law system.
Roughly how long does a sentence like that last?
The minimum sentence is 4 years, and because they're foreigners, they usually end up staying the whole 4 years. A Brazilian who has a four-year sentence can actually get out on parole after two-thirds, so that's 2 years and 8 months. Foreigners don't get parole because generally the judge looks at them and says, where are you going to live? How are you going to make money? I don't trust that you're not going to flee. We would love to see the government actually give them parole and then kick them out of the country. Because at the end of their sentence, they're expelled, they're kicked out of the country because of their circumstances. So at 4 years, they're going to get kicked out anyway. So it would save the government money. It would save the women heartache. I think 2 years and 8 months is enough. So we would love to push the opportunity for parole, recognizing that then they just kick them right out of the country. Mm-hmm. The concern is that Brazilians will then say, well, that's not fair because she's not fulfilling her full 4 years. And I am, although I might be doing that at my home with my family. So.
Is that the most common reason why one of these women who are not Brazilian is in jail for carrying drugs, picking up a package, as it were, and bringing it in? Is that the most common reason they'd be there?
90% of the foreigners are in jail for drugs. Most of them are what they refer to as mules. Some of them, I truly believe, didn't know what they were doing. Like somebody says, oh, you're going to Spain. I have a good friend. Would you carry this? This is her favorite shampoo and she can't get it there. I think most of them know what they're doing. They find themselves in desperate situations, often related to children. So they make a decision to do something, which they know is illegal, but they don't feel they have other options. And I suppose you could think on some scale of ethics, they think it's better than letting their children starve. And so they say, okay. Somebody comes and says, I do this all the time. Nobody ever gets caught. You're going to make $3,000 or whatever you're going to make. So they say, okay. And they simply, I suppose that's a question of judgment, but they carry drugs from one country to another and generally get caught by the police. Often, as we've talked before, they're set up to do that. But most of the women who are foreigners are in jail for drug-related crimes.
That prison is it wasn't filthy, it wasn't, they're all lost people, just in pens, and it just, I guess I don't understand, I don't even understand how you do your work, because it's debilitating just to try to get inside what's happened to them. So I don't think I'd have the guts to show up every couple of times a month and I admire what you do because I think it's so difficult.
I suppose it is. I would think, being a CPA is difficult. It is, but there's something bigger. Like, there's a lot we can't resolve, There's a lot we can't do. There's a lot of, humbling, painful days that I have to look people in the face and say, there's nothing I can do about that, but there's a lot we can do. And we make it, on occasion, the world a little less ugly for a lot of people.
If you're just joining us, this is Voices of Our World, and we return to Karen, a South African drug mule caught in São Paulo, Brazil.
So Heidi earlier said that there was some some blitz happening. Blitz. What is a blitz exactly?
A blitz is when they suspect that you have something in your cell, like a cell phone, drugs, things like that, counterfeit stuff. And they normally come anything after lockup. Lockup is 6 o'clock. We get locked up between 6 and 7. And then we get open again from 7 to 9, and then we get locked up again. Anyway, you've got to undress here, and you've got to squat, which is very not humane as far as I'm concerned. It's degrading. I find it disgustingly degrading. And you get dressed again, you go stand outside, and they rip your cell apart. They shake everything you've got. And they take everything out. They shake your clothes, your blankets, your bed, everything, to see what you're hiding. No, no, that's what a blitz is.
Earlier you said to me that a woman was killed here not too long ago. Yes. Do you want to talk about that?
No, there's so many stories about that. It was actually Ascension Thursday, which is a day nobody should ever forget. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They were told, get back to your pavilions quickly, quickly. And a body was found in a washing basket in the Lishu, strangled. Lishu is the rubbish. And it was done in the pavilion where I live in. And to think we were like in the cells next door and this was happening, it's not a nice thought. It's troublesome, it's harassing, it's awful. And the thing is, the next day, everybody just carries on like normal, as if nothing happened. And a little bit after, they came to fetch some people away from here. But I don't believe it was everybody. But that's just my opinion.
So you think a whole lot of people planned this out?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. If they can kill her, get her out of the pavilion, into the back of the building, it makes one think how they did it. In front of everybody, in front of the guards, in front of everybody. And the girl that was murdered was not exactly a very small girl. And somebody, everything is so close to each other. We can hear the girls talking in the next cell. You cannot tell me that nobody saw or heard nothing. But put it this way, I think to myself, if I'd seen it or I'd heard it, would I say anything? I don't know. Maybe I'm the next one. You know, it's debatable. Maybe somebody did see something. No, maybe they didn't. I don't know. But it's best not to say.
And you're not scared?
I'm petrified, of course.
Karen's situation today is much the same as it was in the summer of 2005. She is still navigating the Brazilian court system and praying she will go home soon. Could you be talked into a similar act if it meant putting food on the table for your children? Email us at radio@maryknoll.org or go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org. Just click on Contact Us. You can call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. You're listening to Voices of Our World.